This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to the Sunday Show. And this week we're coming to you from Cork, a place very close to my heart. And I'm delighted to be joined by Seamus Heaney from Visit Cork. Seamus, pleasure to welcome you to the show.
And a pleasure to welcome you to Cork.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from Cork myself, of course, yeah. So it's always lovely to come down. But I must say that Cork is a place, Seamus, that is hugely popular, both domestically, I suppose, and internationally. And as the largest county in Ireland, I suppose it has a huge offering and a lot of variety, really, doesn't it? Now, before we get into all of that, you have a very interesting background yourself. You've worked in hospitality for years. And very interesting story, how you set up the whole Visit Cork website and company.
Yeah, so I suppose I was a hotelier, you know, since I was a young man. I trained in the hotel business with Fitzpatrick's Hotels. I suppose the latter part of my career in hotels ended up in the Kingsley Hotel in Victoria Cross in Cork that flooded in 2009. But it was a five-star hotel at the time. And unfortunately, the flooding. And then where we were in 2012 with, you know, Quinns were the insurers of the hotel, etc. It became, the whole thing was a quagmire. And unfortunately, the hotel went into receivership. And that was the end of that story. But if I go back even 10 years previous to that, when I was at the hotel, there was a lack of business tourism focus in Cork and from the National Tourism Authority. So we had spoke with both local authorities, myself and maybe two other hoteliers, and we had spoken with Fáil Ireland. And then, you know, luckily we were able to pull the Cork Convention Bureau together. So that gave us a chance to employ somebody to bid for international conferences. We rolled on into 2015. The idea was great. Business tourism was doing well in Cork, but there was a need for a leisure focus. And Fáil Ireland, then the two local authorities got together and they formed Visit Cork. That became the umbrella group then for business and leisure tourism. And I went in as the head of the organisation in 2016. And having looked back, you know, I really enjoyed it. I suppose my passion is in hotels and tourism, and I do love that side of it, like, you know. But it was an awful lot of learning for me even to learn about all the attractions, how they work, you know. I would still call it the whole visitor journey and how all that works. As a hotelier, sometimes you're in your own, you know, you're in your own bubble and you're understanding how a hotel works and how you attract visitors. But then there's a bigger picture, and the bigger picture before you sell any property is selling the destination.
Yeah,
and
of course,
while you'd say Cork is well known, no, it wasn't. Like, it was an unknown destination, you know, within the UK. A lot of people in the UK had never heard of Cork. If you Google Cork, you're getting the cork of a bottle. And sometimes, you know, we just needed to make sure we had a shop window to sell to the world. And again, that's how the brand for Pure Cork came about, was because a brand agency looked at Cork and said, what's great about the destination is the purity. It's the purity of the people, the land, the sea, the water, the rugged coastline. You mentioned that we're one of the largest counties in Ireland. And yes, we are. I mean, it is a really large county. We have the second largest natural harbour in the world next to Sydney Harbour, you know. And they're fantastic stories. So everything was built around the water and our maritime history. And I suppose the tagline then from that became, you know, Pure Cork, you know, it was a haven, Pure Cork haven. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. I mean, the maritime history is huge, of course. And
massive. Yeah.
I mean, to give people an idea, and I was saying to you there earlier, it is so big, we're going to, during the programme, we're going to divide it up, I suppose, into different parts, north, south, east and west. The word Cork, of course, it's funny you mentioned there, it comes from, I suppose, like a lot of places in Ireland, corking, which would be the word, I believe, Seamus, for marsh, isn't that right?
That's right, yeah.
So
that
would have been, so people would kind of understand, I suppose, that was, because it was quite a wet place.
Years gone by,
and it was reclaimed and stuff. So that's where the actual name came from.
It's still a wet place. We've had 6 or 8 weeks before Christmas of rain.
Yes,
you know,
continuous
rain.
But last year, of course, was a glorious summer. And when the weather is good, of course, I suppose in Ireland, it's always beautiful everywhere. Very interesting, Seamus. In terms of maritime history there, of course, if we just start, I suppose, a little bit for people, the big hitters, really. I mean, you see things I read in the newspapers like Spike Island, Women's Best International Tourism Award, the Titanic Experience here in Cove. Just a lot of people just think Titanic is, you know, something that's up in Belfast, but of course the last place that it stopped was here in Cork in Cove, Seamus, and that's quite a really interesting story.
You know, I kind of probably would be in trouble for this in Cove, but the Titanic story is predominantly Belfast, you know, the building.
Absolutely.
You know, the building of Titanic. And I suppose our story has always been last port of call of Titanic. you know, and before, and that's the sad part of the story. But it's actually, if you look at it, come back in history, it's our immigration story. The amount of immigration took place from Queenstown, which was Cove, same with Dunleary in Dublin. And they were the ports where all our immigrants left and went to Ellis Island. And this, the symbolization, if you want to call it, between ourselves in New York is the statue that's now in Cove of a lady and her son, Annie Barry. That Cove, that statue is replicated in Ellis Island.
Wow.
So that exact statue is there. Yeah, and it really is. And for me, it's that whole, outside of Titanic being, you know, I suppose, an incredibly sad story, but an incredibly, you know, maritime story. And at the end of the day, Cove, to me, it's the immigration story is fairly big there. It's the biggest part of it.
Yeah.
And Spike Island is incredible, just to get out there and seeing the harbour that we spoke about, you know.
And just, I mean, to give people, Seamus, just an idea, Spike Island, who may not know about it. I mean, of course, it was a prison before, but how did it win this award?
Well, we would always say, you know, we'd try and make it a little bit smaller than the Americans, what they have. So we'd say that's our answer to Alcatraz, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And it really is. But I suppose it was a prison, and then it became a juvenile detention centre back in the, I think, in the 70s. And then people might remember there was a fire and prisons went on the roof and everything else there. And then, you know, Cork County Council took ownership of it. And there's a lot of history in it for, there's even down to, like, there's a lovely little story of a little girl that, a family that was living on it, and a girl that, and I'm not sure now of the full story at the top of my head, but this little girl, she changed the age of getting communion in Ireland. And I think you were to be 12 or 13 or something, you'd be teens to be getting communion. But this little girl, and her name escapes me now, but her family lived there. Her father was a seafarer and they lived on the island. And anyway, this little girl, she died. And but before she died, she wanted to get her communion and they gave her communion. And that's how that story came, you know. But outside of that, I suppose, it's the views again from Spike are just magnificent.
Yeah, I mean, history. It's a short journey over, isn't it?
It really is. Like, you know, it depends on the weather and the day. But it is a short journey over and it's like, it's a phenomenal visitor attraction. It's and it multifaceted, it can be used for so many different things. But then you have Hall Boland right next to it as well, which is the Army or the Navy base. And, you know, that's where all the Navy ships come into as well. So, and then you have the Maritime College there, which is incredible.
Another famous ship that, of course, we've heard a lot about, the Lusitania. Now, I was very fascinated when I saw what you've done for that as well.
Yeah. So that story is really around Kinsale. And, and you know, there's historians, even where I'm living in Bandon, there's a great historian, great man that put a lot of history into that in the Lusitania. And again, that story in Kinsale is fantastic, and around Charles Fort. So if you look at where we spoke about Cove, you have Charles, you have Fort Maher, Camden, all on the way, literally. So the ideal scenario for all of us is good. You get a taxi from, that you'll get a water taxi from Cove at some stage to Kinsale, and you're going down along the coast, and it is absolutely, as you know, spectacular. But just to see the wildlife is just incredible there as well, like, you know.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, we'll touch on Kinsale. We are still the gourmet capital of Ireland. Yeah. You got a great title there as well. Fantastic. Yeah. Of course, staying over, Cove, again, Seamus, I often think a lot of places like East Ferry, of course, photo wildlife was groundbreaking in its day when it came out with, you know, cheeses, like completely different concept to that enclosed zoo idea. And a stunning place with the arboretum, even those sequoia trees and things that are just massive
It really is phenomenal. And to be fair to the team down there and headed up by Sean McKeown, who is very passionate on zookeeping, it is just an amazing story and how it's evolved over generations. From the time I was going there as a child to when I brought my children there to now today, it has evolved and it's moved on. And it is like, it's beautiful when you're walking along and the animals are roaming free, some of them. Obviously not the tigers, but you have the animals literally, you know, walking free. It's fantastic, but it's an amazing sight. That whole island, that hole in the violin, the photo is just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, personally, for me, I would prefer photo to Dublin Zoo because I just love the whole experience, the outdoors.
It's very outdoor.
But it's interesting you said there, I mean, tigers, cheetahs, like they have a really, I mean, people don't really understand, I think, the variety of animals that they actually have. Oh, they always look happy to me, I think.
Exactly, and I would agree with that. They always look happy and I think it's because they're a bit more freer. And, you know, again, I admire them that the animals come first when it comes to photos. It's not about the visitor numbers. It's about the animals and the respect for the animals. And that's why, and you know, they don't like work being done at night there because the animals, you know, when people leave the park, they have their kind of downtime. Mm. They're on show during the day in a respectful manner. But it's an amazing setup. It really is. And it's so well managed and
Yeah, of course, and you're right. People don't realize it's like a sanctuary for animals. And they are the number one.
During COVID,
priority.
I think it was a lifesaver for people, for families to be able to go there and let kids run free, and you know, and I keep using the word respectful in a respectful manner to animals, like, you know.
Yeah,
it's their habitat.
You're listening to The Sunday Show with me, Ed Finn. Delighted to be joined tonight by my special guest, Seamus Heaney from Visit Cork.
This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine, 106.8. Sunshine, 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to The Sunday Show. Coming to you this evening from Cork with my very special guest, Seamus Heaney from Visit Cork. Seamus, I suppose one of the most famous things about Cork is Blarney Castle. Now, every American, I suppose, down the years would have heard of the Blarney, kissing the Blarney Stone. And I did it, you might have guessed, once or twice. Mm-hmm. It is really quite a scary thing to do, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think you licked it, Ed.
I took a bite out of it.
It is, yeah. And it's a very steep staircase. And when we do show rounds, it's one of the ones personally I try and avoid. I say, oh, off you go yourselves and I'll meet you at the end. But it is. It's been there for generations and Americans do love it, and it's on a bucket list for most American clients, which is fantastic. But the gardens are just incredible there as well. We talked about earlier on about lockdown, and again, the gardens were a saving grace for people. They have some really exotic plants there, and the love and attention that goes into that is just incredible altogether. So, but Blarney itself, like, I mean, across the way you have Christie's, you know, the Woolen Mills, fantastic story that's come out of that, you know, from Christy Kelleher, past family, you know, there was the old Woolen Mills in Cork.
Yeah, I believe there's a big run on the Arran since the Banshee of Inishir.
That's right. Oh yeah, I didn't think of that. Actually,
they can't
make them fast enough.
Yeah. But yeah, Christie's, that is a beautiful place.
And I mean, yeah, it is.
The artisan crafts and what they make there, and people don't realise, I suppose, it's a huge place.
It's massive. It's the old Woolen Mills, and they've preserved it so well. And I know the Meadows and Burns brand is part of that, but it's really, really fantastic story as well. Like, you know, but Blarney, like, and it's not that far from the city, and
absolutely. Because when people think of Cork City, I always find people say to me, "Oh, what do I go to see in Cork?" And I think what people don't realise about Cork is, primarily it's not so much a tourist city, really. Cork's a working city, a bit like the English market, in a way, isn't it? Now, I think that's what's lovely about it, because it's almost like you get to meet the locals when you come to, like, the Queen, for example, right? I think she enjoyed her visit in 2011. But the English market, Seamus, it's interesting. I mean, I just throw in with my family, the Finns were butchers there for years. And I remember when I was a young fella going around delivering parcels of meat to the rich and famous and the posh people around Cork.
Yeah, the hobnobs of Cork.
Yeah, and my grandfather, like, remembered across the way was the Tripe and Drisheen. But, like, people go to the English market every day.
So Finn's Corner.
Yeah, they'd be a cousin of mine. Moss Finn. But I mean, the English market, I mean, they don't really like, they don't like tourists going in there too much, because people go there for their shopping, don't they?
I'd always say to people, we don't promote it as a tourist attraction. We promote it as a working market. And it's actually a working market, no more than that you have in Boston. They're working markets. Unfortunately, there's no place to sit down and eat bar, the cafe upstairs. You know, and I think in time, that will come where you can taste from the stands. But generations of families there, like you mentioned today, like, it's fantastic. The Collins, you have, you know, the Chicken Inn, it's fantastic. The Chocolate Story,
Tom Durkin spice,
Tom Durkin,
oh my
incredible,
God. Like, you know, what delicious. Yeah. Christmas wouldn't be the same.
And the O'Connell's, K. O'Connell's stand, you know,
of course, yeah.
And then, like, you mentioned the Queen's visit there, and I mean, one of the most iconic pictures that ever came out of that, like, the late Queen was meeting Pat O'Connell, who was as nervous as a kitten on the day, like, and which he would be. He was going to meet, you know, Her Majesty the Queen. And I think the story, like, I don't know whether you've ever seen the picture of the Queen laughing.
Oh, listen, and I Pat absolutely, just, yeah. It's the best picture, in her green, yeah, of course, yeah, head back.
Yeah, yeah. But actually, just before I do go into that story, one of the big things was that all came around very, very quickly. She had been in Dublin. There was no people in the streets. She'd asked when she came to Cork, outside of seeing the English market and the scheduled itinerary, that people would be out in the streets. And if you ever remember back, she got out of the car.
It was like her visit started.
It really was, like, you know. And do you know what? I just say, what a gracious lady. Yeah. She was 86 years of age that time, and her husband was 89.
I know. I saw her, would you believe, I was at the Giant's Causeway when, on her 90th birthday, they brought her to the Giant's Causeway, and we were standing, and she just, I lived as near as I am to you now. She was, but a gorgeous little lady. She was amazing.
Yeah.
But what was really interesting, I think, about that as well, was the term, I suppose, when people ask, you know, they all say to me, look, why is it called the English Market, yeah, yeah, right? And yeah, is there a real story on that?
There isn't really, not that I would be aware of it. It's a very old market, and I keep saying it's a working market. It was, you know, like when you look at a lot of the buildings in Ireland, in cities like Cork and Dublin, would have been built by the British.
Yeah, and was it only the gentry that could afford to shop there?
Apparently it was at the time.
There was an Irish market as well.
That's right. Now I wouldn't be that old, so I wouldn't go back that far, and I'm not that.
I'm about 300. But that's very interesting.
But it is a fantastic, and you know what? It has evolved, and it's not just tripe and drisheen, and it's not just the chicken or the fish. It's the olive stand is incredible there, and it's brought in different cultures and
Asian food, isn't it? I mean, it's international.
It is an international market.
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, the vegetables, Seamus, there, of course, you know, are so mixed and fresh and stuff. Yeah. And you mentioned the cafe upstairs. The name escapes me now as well.
The Farm Gate.
Yeah. I mean, their cakes and everything they make homemade. I mean, it really
have
is.
Have an Irish stew there sometime.
Guys, it's a top tip if you go to Cork. Get up to the Farm Gate Market. Yeah. Really fantastic food there. Then, Seamus, West Cork, I suppose, has been synonymous for years with movie stars, rock stars, the people that all from all over the world that go there. I mean, it has something incredibly special, doesn't it?
It has. And again, I go back to the brand and the essence of the brand Pure Cork. And it's about the purity of the people and the whole, you know, the land. And I keep saying the people, very important part of the story. But like Cork, we spoke about, I suppose, Cork being, and we're talking a lot about food. Yeah. But like, I'm not sure the exact numbers, and I know there's a bit of research going into this, but many years ago, there was a number bandied around that 72% of all the artisan producers in the whole of Ireland originated in Cork. And of that 72%, a very high percentage of them would have been killed on this one as well. They were originating in the county. So if you take the likes of West Cork, and you go down to Gubeen and you get the Gubeen cheese and the Gubeen salami, and you have the Kingston family down there as well in Glenellan. You have Sally Barnes down in the Woodcock Smokery. You have the farm tours, and there's like three farmers have got together and created farm tours while they're all working farms, but their stories are just incredible. And again, it's about producing milk that makes milk cheese, you know. So those stories are just really fantastic. But the essence of it, of people coming to West Cork, I suppose they came, it was a haven of tranquility, or because you're near the water and you have beautiful places like Skull and Crookhaven. But equally, we're in Clonakilty today. Clonakilty is a fantastic town that has come on leaps and bounds in 2 decades. Like I've just met with Philippa Dean over in the Clonakilty pudding and sausage factory. That's an amazing story.
Well, I was saying that it's somebody that Kerrygold and Clonakilty sausages and black pudding, I think, are things that have just been, wherever you go in the world.
Yeah, and they really are. And you can do so much with it. And we're doing an event in Milan for St. Patrick's Week with Tourism Ireland. And Clonakilty pudding is going to feature big time in that, because of how you can do a starch, you could do a main course with it, how you can mix and match stuff in it. But again, that whole Toomey story, a simple butcher in Clonakilty, himself and his wife, she was on the till. She now is the managing director of that empire, and it's fantastic. And not alone, one time I remember Dublin people saying, I love Clonakilty pudding, but we can't be driving to Clonakilty for it. They sell it in supermarkets like Kerrygold being sold. Kerrygold is one of those great stories, one of the fastest selling butters now in the United States, which is incredible. But that story again about the whole food, and I kind of harping on it a little bit, and the drink. So when we're internationally selling Cork as a destination, I'm always mindful of, are they going to remember you when they meet Galway, Limerick, Dublin? How are they going to say Cork stands out in their mind? And when you go and you tell the story of Middleton and the Jameson brand, every drop of Jameson drank anywhere around the world, whether it's in a pub in Dublin or whether it's in a pub in Singapore or it's in a high-end bar in Bankmead and originated in the town of Middleton. That's a fantastic story.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, again, and just beside there, a place that was formerly a retirement home for priests, Castle Martyr, is now a huge, stunning place to go and stay.
Yes, it is, popular. And I mean, they've just created they're looking at 2 Michelin star restaurant down there at the moment, but it's fantastic. We did an event there in December, amazing. And again, I talk about people, and people make bricks and mortar are, there's a cost factor in bricks and mortar and how you create them. But if you don't have the people to deliver and the service, that to me is the most important part of it. And that's what our industry is built on. But Castle Martyr, going back on that, again, it's about the experience that I got out of it was about the people and the quality of the food. And, you know, like every, almost and you've stayed in many hotels in Cork. Look at the, it's all about how far the food is delivered to the hotel now. The story has even got better. Not alone is it farm to fork, but now you're going on the distance it's travelled to get to your plate. And we are very fortunate in Ireland to have such fantastic food on our shelves.
Yeah, that are really fresh. Yeah, no. Sorry, I mean, but I must say, like, for example, we were talking there, I mean, like, things like crab and salmon and, I mean, West Cork, I suppose, the seafood. And, I mean, you see there now, Dede, the chef from there, the Turkish restaurant. I mean, Dede. I mean, winning best chef, best restaurant. I mean, absolutely phenomenal food. And here's a Turkish guy who picked Cork and has Turkish, you know, staff working with them and stuff, but producing this mix, this fusion of Cork meets Turkey.
It really is.
And it has to be tasted, I suppose, to really to be believed. And what you were saying there, I remember Glendore when we were, I mean, you know, it was, we were so lucky living in the city just for holidays, down to Ballydehob, Goleen, Skull, of course, the Regatta, which is a massive thing every year, Baltimore as well. So, you know, it really is a massive, huge holiday destination, isn't it, for us?
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you've Gugambara, they're all what we would call the hotspots during the summer. But equally, they're challenged in the winter. So while people's perception is that they're always busy and full, no, they're not. Like, so there's a long winter there from October to March, and you'd love to see them, people going there. And again, you've Lizard House now in Skibbereen, you know, a period house. Absolutely beautiful.
Sky Garden there.
Sky Garden. But it's outside of that, it's just the lake. It's the walks. You're just away from the noise that's in the world, and you get away from all that hustle and bustle and confusion that's out there. And sometimes it's just nice to lock yourself away in something like that. And again, like I suppose we talk about Kinsale and how fantastic it is. Clonakilty, like some fantastic hotels.
Yeah, because for me, I think I love Kinsale and I love the bookshops there and I love the fish and chips and everything. But Clonakilty for me, I mean, I suppose probably a little bit, you know, touristy, you know, but I mean, but it just became so successful and it is a beautiful spot. But, and you know, Charles Fort, I mean, I think I saw the White Lady there. You remember the famous story about the ghost there? She's one of the real ghosts in Ireland. You hear lots of stories. And there's actually the ghost tourists there as well. Charles Fort is a fantastic place. But again, like we have, as I said,
Charles Fort and you have Camden Fort Maher and then you go to Spike.
Yeah.
They're all out into the harbour and it's just amazing views.
Now, one place as well, by the way, that I heard you talking about that I want to do when I'm down now is Elizabeth Fort, where your office is based. Now, I've never been there.
So we're very fortunate to be housed in a 16th century fort. But it is really amazing now. It's just beautiful. And you have a rampart that overlooks the city. You can, you know, you can walk the rampart and there's lovely storytelling in it again. But that was the old Garda Barracks as well in Cork, became a Garda Barracks. And I think it was a Garda Barracks up to around the late 80s, early 90s. And it's now, we're housed in there as well as the Heritage Trust have two houses in there as well. So you can rent the houses out and stay in the fort, which is fantastic behind those gates. But it's hard to believe you're in the heart of a city.
Yeah.
And you have this amazing 16th century fort. Like it is, it was only officially opened last night and they have put in a bandstand there now, a really fantastic stage and setting.
And
so there'll be concerts.
And there's tours there as well, is there?
There is, you can just walk in. Yeah, yeah. And it's, at the moment it's free, but tours, there's a cost in the tour if you get a tour guide with you. But at the moment it's free for people. But
brilliant.
But it's fantastic facility. And then we spoke about jails earlier on, like Cork is full of prisons, the unused prisons, which is great. And then you go
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, because we don't have the prisoners. We don't need them. It's a very safe city. But we look at the old Cork City Jail, spelled G-A-O-L, the old Irish spelling, which was an institution
the
for female
prisoners. The Ballad of Reading Jail, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, it was for housing women prisoners. But you have the great radio station, the Marconi, set up there as well.
That story is fascinating.
It is really fascinating. Yeah. And undersold, like in ways, but the old ladies' jail is fantastic. Like, I mean, one of the, like, when you think sadly, back in the 1800s, the late 1800s, that women were imprisoned for long periods of time for petty theft, like maybe stealing milk to feed their children, sometimes for very little less than that. And I think one of the most famous prisoners up there was Countess Markovic, was one of the most famous. But anyway, it is transformed now as a tourist attraction. but it, and it's run by the Keneally family. Like, it's not state owned, it's not state funded.
Yeah.
Like, it's just by a private family, and they do an absolutely phenomenal job in it.
That's another one on my list as well.
Yeah. And Nanonagle is another one.
Oh, well, actually, Nanonagle, I wanted to talk to you about Nanonagle because I'm a Prez boy, and Nanonagle has a very good connection with Prez. You're listening to The Sunday Show with me, Ed Finn, and my special guest this evening, Seamus Heaney from Pure Cork.
This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to The Sunday Show. This evening, coming to you from Cork. Seamus, we were chatting there about Nanonagle earlier. She founded the Presentation Order, of course, and you have Presentation Brothers College here in Cork, which Roland O'Gara, the many famous rugby players.
I think Ed Finn went there as well.
My grandfather as well. Yeah. I remember Brother Jerome Kelly, actually, who was an amazing principal. He went on to be the Superior General of the Prez Brothers. And remember, I was 14. He took us on a school tour to Rome, and we met Pope John Paul II in July 1979, before he came here. I'm talking the real meeting.
In Casa Gandolfo?
Pulled up. No, in the Vatican Gardens. And the Pope, the car came out, they checked all our old box cameras, everything, we were all lined up. Mm-hmm. But amazing history here, the presentation was like fantastic history, and Cork being one of the big bases. But the Nanonagle experience is a fantastic experience that you've created here.
So Nanonagle, like, I remember showing this attraction to people from Dublin, and what is Nanonagle, or who is Nanonagle? So she obviously wouldn't be famous enough, but she was the founder of the Presentation Order. But her, I suppose her story was, which is very unique at that time, that she came from an extremely wealthy family. And I think she was only one of two children, but she was a very wealthy family. And the reason that the order was founded is because she fed the poor women and housed them of Cork City. And that's where they're based, in the old part of Cork, Nanonagle Place now. And anyway, if we move on, what they've done, they've recreated a fantastic space in the heart of Cork City, which is adjoined to the college and the College of Design for UCC. And they have created, like, outside of an attraction, inside it you have an amazing cafe. I don't know if you, when you're in Cork, you should really try it. It's a vegetarian cafe, but again, it just produced the best produce that's available in Cork. Everything is made by this couple. I think he's Kiwi originally, and but their story is fantastic as well. And you know, I admire them for picking a restaurant like that inside in the middle of the garden. But again, the story, the whole migrant situation, they house migrant workers and they do classes for them and all of that. So it's a really great, you know, outside of the Nanonagle. And they also have a visitor attraction, which is telling the story of the Presentation Order. But it is an amazing space in the heart of a city. And I spoke about Elizabeth Fort earlier on. Both of those attractions right in the middle of Cork City is just incredible.
And other things as well that I love doing when I come here, Seamus, the Crawford Art Gallery, amazing Harry Clark stained glass exhibition there, and great exhibitions, fabulous cafe there as well. And the Glucksmann, Seamus, in UCC. Now, UCC is one of the most beautiful college campuses that I've ever been on.
And I would call it Chapel. Fantastic.
But the Glucksmann Gallery there as well, one of the most, won awards for its design. Yeah. Stunning.
Yeah, it is. And it really is. It's so, like, sometimes I, if you just want to use simple terms, it's a little bit off the wall.
Yeah.
But it is incredible.
It's like a lot of Cork people.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But it is, like, the Glucksmann is phenomenal. It's a space we love showing.
Yeah.
Because it is so incredibly thought out, and, you know, Lewis Glucksmann.
Now, let me ask you another question. Do you ring the Shandon bells much? Because it's something that people, do they still do that?
They do, and people still try and play with music on it. I actually did a tour there last year and it was phenomenal as well. Like, now you definitely want to be very slim and very agile to get up. I think it's at 102 steps and you're climbing through little rafters and everything. It's an old building, an old church, but it is absolutely fantastic. Like, you know, and to hear the church bells chime, you have to have your headphones on and everything. Like,
brilliant.
You know, really good.
Another thing I just wanted to mention as well, the Ring of Beara, Seamus. A lot of people I've sent that have done it, and they've done the Ring of Kerry and stuff, and they said that it was incredible. I think that's another part of Cork, the Beara Peninsula, that's not so well known. And I'm not even touching on Cape Clear and Shirkadine, all the fabulous islands.
But they're secrets, you see, Ed. We're not allowed to talk
about. Am I supposed to talk?
We're preserving those secrets for ourselves.
But it's true,
for Cork people.
It's true,
it is. It is.
No one talks about it.
You know what? We have six islands off West Cork, off Cork, and they're just incredible. Like, you know, you have, and again, like the Whiddy Island, you know, would have only been famous for the Whiddy disaster.
Of course, come the
back, oil terminal, I can't remember,
yeah.
Was it 40 years ago? I was very young at the time. But like Whiddy is beautiful, Shirkin, as you mentioned.
Yeah, the Jolly Roger. I remember years ago going to the Jolly Roger pub, all the fishermen would be out fishing for like a week and they'd come in and they'd drink for about 4 days.
Oh, yeah.
It never closed.
No. I think that's gone to two now instead of four. But even out to Hare Island. Just off, you know.
That's one that I'm dying to try. I haven't been. Yeah. I've heard that's stunning as
fantastic.
Well.
Fantastic. Like, I mean, it's just a pity John Desmond has closed his restaurant there. That was himself and had a fantastic.
One other thing that I wanted to mention to you as well that I noticed has been very huge character, of course, one of the big, Michael Collins, of course, right? I meant to mention that when we were talking about John O'Kilty earlier. You have a Michael Collins trail now.
You have, and I, you know, give huge credit to Cork County Council for the signposting, the finger posting that went on around. So you have the Michael Collins birthplace, you have the Michael Collins history within the town here of Clonakilty, the Michael Collins Museum.
But, and then you Bail and Blow. 25 miles, is a kilometre.
Yeah, it's not that far. And, you know, they've done a phenomenal job in that too. But it's amazing because I remember being there just in the winter of this year. I was on my way to Glengareth and I'm passing it. And it's like you're just passing it. You know, it's just on the side of a road. And
I suppose it's for us, it'd be like sort of the kind of the grassy knoll, really, in a way.
It is, it is.
Amazing.
So I just remember a funny story of a guy years ago being told, we're going to Bail and Blaw, and this is where Michael Collins was killed. And he said, I can see why. He said it was a bad old bend, all right. Like, thought it was a car accident, you know. But anyway, but the Michael Collins, it is a fantastic story. And now it's 100 years, last year, of his birth. So
fantastic stuff you've done.
And again, a statue in the middle of Clonakilty.
And he's such an iconic figure. Sometimes I think he's huge because the Americans always ask about him. Most visited grave in Glasnevin Cemetery, of
course. That's right,
incredible. Seamus, the other thing as well, the beaches, I mean, obviously Cork has a huge coastline, stunning beaches. You talked earlier there, I mean, Cork MacSherry in Shidani, but just like there's some amazing places just to go, isn't there? And again, some secret places that people don't know.
Yeah, and you know what? It's amazing.
Oyster Haven, I love.
But you know what? There are beaches that are known, but then you have House Strand, and there's other ones I can't mention because you have families.
You have to kill me.
Yeah, you have families that are going there for generations. They're saying, don't ever tell anybody about that. Don't ever promote this beach. It's small and you have ladies' beach and all this kind of stuff, you know. But we go over as far as Yall. I mean, that's another, the Iron Man's story, you know, that Iron Man was there for 3 years in 2019 or 20, and then in 2020, you know what happened. But 2019, we had the worst rain that they couldn't do the swim. It was so bad that summer that you couldn't swim in it. But anyway, again, they built this the boardwalk and a walkway along the beach. Absolutely incredible.
And of course, Yall, I mean, that was a huge summer destination for people, like, you know, and those beautiful big old houses that were all along the promenade there. Very, very quintessential beach holiday, wasn't it?
Correct. Yeah. And it's really transformed.
Perks. I remember Perks.
Yeah, Perks. And it's still there. Yeah. Sally Perks is still there.
God, the amusement,
great woman.
The amusement park. Yeah.
Yeah. And even, you know, even today, she'd say, if there's anything I could ever do to help tourism, I'm very happy to do it, you know.
Yeah.
But again, that is, like, to me, Yall is undersold as well, because when Iron Man toured the world, come there, and they're coming 6 and 8 months in advance, some of them, to do the course in the practice, is fantastic. And now they've secured it for another couple of years. Great altogether for that area. Like, those people that come for that are staying out as far as Middleton, Cove, Ballycotton, the Ballycotton Cliff Walks, fantastic. Like.
And Seamus, that is about, I was lucky enough to have a few nights in Ballymaloe House last year, which is in that area, just up from Gary Vaux, which is another stunning beach there. But the
really
Ballymaloe
is,
experience, again, people from all over the world, I was cooking a bit of bread with Rachel there.
Oh, good man yourself.
So, but listen, really incredible. All over the world, people come here for that. Yeah, and I think sometimes people don't realise it's on our doorstep how amazing it is.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about produce, Ballymaloe, the reddish, the Ballymaloe, that whole Ballymaloe story has become incredible. But I go back to Myrtle Allen.
Oh, yeah.
And her husband. Put it, like, it's still in the middle of nowhere in Shanagarry. And it is fantastic to think that a woman that many years ago decided this was going to be a bed and breakfast hotel. But it's fantastic, like, to put it in the middle of. And I keep saying in the middle of nowhere. And it really is. But then you go up the road another little bit and you have, I don't know if you've heard of Bertha's Revenge.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Yeah, or with the Big Bert, the gin. So Bert's Revenge is a very high-end gin that's sold, and it's made from cow's milk, basically. It's the way. And Justin Green and his wife have fantastic in Ballyvillane House, a beautiful, beautiful property, really stunning location. And again, the produce that's produced on the plate there in the rooms are unique. No TVs, you know, every room is different, every room is unique. But again, fantastic story. And then to use the cattle to make the gin is just fantastic altogether.
Yeah, no, that's I must definitely check that.
Yeah, 100%, it's well worth doing. Yeah.
Now, just before we finish up, Seamus, you're from Mallow.
I am.
North Cork.
You've done your research.
Sometimes they give out and they say people forget about Dork because it's another fabulous part. They've done some amazing stuff there in Donnerail, haven't they?
Yeah, Donnerail, like for a small village. When I was growing up in Mallow, I suppose Mallow was a big town, and you know, I suppose one of the most famous, you had the sugar factory, and that was one of the four sugar factories in Ireland, and that became, that's Mallow would have been taught in geography in schools. You had Thurles, you had Carlow, you had Mallow, you know, and they were the sugar factories. But then you have a little village like Donnerail just out the road, and you have the old court in Donnerail, and they've transformed that house now to the OPW, and they've reopened it, and it is
the Office of Public Works, and they've created a beautiful
yeah, it's the whole story
there,
and that's the house has been reopened, and they're working on the house bit by bit, but it's just they've restored the house, and it is just fantastic. But even the views again from it, and the story of the history, is just incredible. And there's a lovely cafe and all there, and there's a lady has opened a cafe right in the middle of the town, Donnerail Townhouse. And it was originally to sell interior decoration, but she's opened an amazing cafe there as well. But the town itself and the park, it's the most visited free attraction in Ireland, Donnerail Park,
where the
white deer are there. But a fantastic, you know. So.
Fantastic. Now, I mean, I've been having a great trip around where we are. We're talking with Clonakilty today. Some of you were chatting there about Lizard House, Fernhill, where one best wedding venue in Ireland, another stunning property.
But the O'Neill family do a superb job.
Yeah, I was up in Dunoan House there. What a beautiful place.
Absolutely, Dunoan House. If you just take this small area alone and you think there's a lack of hotels, like you look at Fernhill, owner run, really, really, really top at the top of his game. And then you go to the other side and the O'Donovans have Dunmore House.
Beautiful spot.
Like absolutely gorgeous.
Family gorgeous hotel, game. Yeah.
Correct. And then you look across the water and you look over Inchidani Lodge and Spa, sorry.
Yes.
So you look over across the water and you've Inchidani Lodge and Spa, Des O'Dowd operates that.
Yeah,
beautiful hotel place, with its own beach, really, really spectacular. And then you're not far from the Celtic Ross in Roscarbery. And then again, you've O'Donovan's Hotel, right in the centre of Clonakilty. Fantastic. Like, you have really, really some great accommodation providers. And each of them, you know, they're all steeped, family businesses steeped in tourism, but their heart is in Clonakilty and their heart is in tourism. And they're genuinely, you know, wanting to be involved and do the right thing for Clonakilty.
You know, Seamus, I could talk to you all day about Cork because, you know, there's so much. I'm sure there's loads of things that we've missed out on. So you promised me you'll come back on the show again.
Absolutely. And the Famine Museum in Skibbereen, actually, while you're in Clonakilty, needs to be visited as well. Like,
oh, yeah.
Another phenomenal
heard.
Story.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And even the story of the potato. You know, and
Keila was telling me they have a famine bell in Dunoan House as well.
That's right. Yeah.
Going back to the 1700s.
I think,
amazing. Seamus Heaney, it's been an absolute pleasure. I know you're a busy man, so I'm going to let you go. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you,
thanks
Ed.
For talking all things pure Cork to us today.
Absolutely.
Seamus, just quickly, what's the website for people if they want to check
it? I was just about to jump in on this. It's www.purecork.ie or visitcork.ie. Any of the two will find us. And again, it's just anywhere to stay, eat, do everything about Cork from a tourism perspective is on that. That's our shop window to the world.
Great, Seamus. Thanks a million.